Turn your Bible with me to chapter 12 of book of John. Chapter 12 of book of John. Verse 27, and we will start. Like many of you, I have seen and met many people who call themselves spiritual. Their idea of being spiritual is much, not even remotely resemble with the biblical concept of spirituality. See, their idea of rather than being right with the Word of God, they just make as they go. So you can call it hodgepodge religion that appease their spiritual hunger for a short time. That will not satisfy their spiritual hunger. The range of their hodgepodge spirituality has a wide gamma. It ranges from the idea of the old TV series, The Twilight Zone. You remember that thing? And everybody, the creepy people coming up. From Twilight Zone to the Eastern philosophy, Zen with a New Age twist, or to then 1-900 psychics. Worst part of this humanistic the spiritual ignorance and confusion comes from the hard heart of the people who do not care to know the truth of Jesus Christ. Why do they not want to know the truth of God? We already got an answer from chapter 3 of John. So keep your finger on chapter 12. Go to verse 19 of chapter 3, please, in John. 3:19. And this is condemnation, that the light has come into this world, Men love the darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That's the reason. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deed should be exposed. In other words, when it comes to the truth of God, people choose to be ignorant for the sake of their carnality. You with me? Not because they have no way to learn about the truth. They choose to be ignorant. This morning we encounter Jesus, who shows us not only the vulnerability of as 100% human, but also determination and purpose and the love for his Father as 100% God. In the meanwhile, people around him, including his disciples, are clueless. They have no idea what's going on. We'll stop and pray. Father, again, we come to you, your presence, your house, with a delight in our heart, knowing that you're going to speak to us, not a man, that your voice, your word, living word. Father, we are asking you to speak to us. Let our hearts be cleansed by your blood. Let our heart be purified by the Holy Spirit, ready to receive your word. Father, we are asking you the guidance. And not only we learn here from you, but also let us live according to what you tell us to do. And we pray for the President Obama, that he may truly experience the salvation that comes from Jesus Christ. And we pray for our troops, wherever they are, especially the one in the harm's way. Father, we are asking you to protect them. And you're willing, you bring them back to their families. You bring them back to their homes, their friends, safe and quickly. And we also pray for the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. We ask you to watch over them and protect them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 27 in chapter 12. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. January 12th, this year, a few hours before my daughter was about to have her son Micah, she was going through enormous pain. As a daddy, and I was helpless, and I could not do anything. Even if I could take her labor pain, which I have no idea how I can handle it, because when it comes to pain, I'm a total loss. And I was just praying in a mile of seconds for her, that easy delivery. Now that I understand a tiny bit about that being a mom, because I do take care of my grandson, and I take my hat off to the moms. Carrying the basketball in your tummy for 9 months and swollen ankle, aching back, and then going through the excruciating pain. And then once the baby is born, now you have to take care of that child. Guys, gentlemen, we have a maid in the shade. Can I hear amen on that? And listen, when mom says to their kids, I brought you into this world, I can take you out of this world, they have every right to say so. Can I hear amen, ladies? See, you can say that Jesus had a labor pain to bring humanity from the bondage of Satan and death to freedom. He was going through this labor pain. It's increasing. The tempo is getting faster and faster. Time is near. If that's the way you can think about. We somehow think that going through what Jesus went through for us in his earthly ministry from his birth to the resurrection, well, it was a breeze for him because after all, he was God. If we think that, we are wrong and very, very wrong. Yes, he could have stopped all this nonsense in a second. In the moment he think about it, it would be stopped. Yes, he knew that he would overcome this horrendous torture and the death and the resurrection. Worst of all, the separation from the Father. But he chose to go through because he has something very, very important person in his mind. Mainly to Father and us. Does it mean that Jesus had anxiety like us? We often have? Absolutely. Positively, yes. Remember, he was 100% human while he was 100% God. The cross which had cast a shadow over the entire life and the ministry of Jesus now became a reality in the life of Jesus in a matter of a few days. Think about this. It would have been enough if Jesus just endured the crucifixion for the first time for 6 hours. Of course, a torture for an entire night, throughout the night. 6 hours from the 9 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he was hung on the cross. That was bad enough. But remember, he is God. He's God who knows every detail of the pain of a crucifixion, what he would go through. From the eternity past, he knew that. Can you imagine going through that in his mind over and over, over and over, 10,000 times upon 10,000 times? There was anxiety and anticipation mentally he must have been crucified. Jesus did not die without feeling. He felt every single pain that there was and every bit of a curses of the sin that it should have been for us. We realize that when we came to Jesus, all of our sin had been forgiven. And our Lord canceled all the record of our transgression and iniquities. But Jesus did not have that luxury. You know why? Because he could not be forgiven. All of our sin was dumped on him. It's like a depository, like a trash dumpster. All of our garbage went to him. He was bearing our sin upon himself, and he became totally guilty for us. He died as the vilest sinner of the mankind that ever lived. Go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become righteousness of God in him. See, there is no power in the universe that made him to go to cross other than his love for us, so that he could glorify the Father in heaven. He was totally engulfed in glorifying the Father in heaven. And in turn, Father was totally engulfed with the glorifying his Son, Jesus Christ. Some may wonder why, how that bloody cross and crucifixion of Jesus Christ gave glory to the Father in heaven. I said that's an excellent question. Think with me. The greatest manifestation of the attribute of God in the history of the universe took place on the cross. Was ever the love of God for his people more clear than this time? Was ever the wrath of God against sin more clear than at the cross when he judged his own son to death? Was ever grace of God more clear than that when he substituted Jesus for you and me? Was it ever more clear, the mercy of God more clear than the basis of Christ's death, he forgave us? Was it ever the wisdom of God more clear than such a master plan as that the sly and devious Satan had no idea what was coming to him? He thought he won that battle. Every attribute of God became singled at the cross in one event, Jesus' death. Do you know many, now several, I shouldn't say many, several denominations, main denomination in Christianity, try to remove the name, mention of blood of Jesus Christ or crucifixion. They even have a hymnal that, you know, when you go into church, more formal church, they have this rack, hymnal rack. When you pick up, this is a first-hand experience, I pick up one of the hymnals in a particular denomination because I heard this story. I went through some of this particular hymnal. I could not find the famous hymn, "There is a Power in the Blood." Do you know that song?
Yes.
It's not in the hymnal. Why? Because it's gross. They took it out. What is there? How can we be cleansed without the blood of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
So are we trying to appease other people's taste so we can ignore God, what God has done for us? Never be. Jesus wanted to glorify the Father with everything he had, and we need to follow his example of Jesus. That is the only reason why we exist. Colossians 3:17, please. Let this be the commandment from God to you for every day, okay? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Do all things in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what? That will eliminate about 70% of our action and our words, don't you think? In response to Jesus' prayer, the Father instantly replied with the audible voice, which is that this is the third time God spoke to the people audibly since the last prophecy by the Malachi, who is the Italian prophet, you know, right? It's been 400 years. It's the third time. So when is the first time? We'll go there. See, God was assuring people And it's a double assurance, God's son's past life and ministry and son's future suffering and death would glorify the Father. It's significant that the Father spoke to the Son three times. At the beginning of the Son's ministry, right after he was baptized by John the Baptizer, I prefer to call him John the Baptizer because some people say, John the Baptist, so he's the Southern Baptist convention first president? No, he's not. John the Baptizer, he was baptized by John the Baptizer in Jordan River, according to Matthew chapter 3. And second time, he was on the way to Jerusalem, and he was on Mount Transfiguration, according to Matthew chapter 17. Now, at the end of his ministry, Son entering the last days before the cross, God is speaking to him audibly. Listen, the Lord always gives the word of assurance to those who willingly suffer for his sake. Do you think that our brothers and sisters who are persecuted in the third world country, do you think that they can survive without assurance from God? Without faith in God? No, absolutely not. Go back to chapter 12 in John, verse 29. Therefore, people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. One group said that it was thunder. The other one says it was an angel's voice. You know, this is nothing unusual. Because people never do really hear the voice of God. God is not silent. People are deaf. Let me say it one more time. God is not silent. People are deaf. No, let me rephrase that. The people don't want to hear the Lord because they don't want to be convicted by God and they don't want to know how to listen to God. Do you know why we have so many people who rather believe in evolution theory instead of a creation fact? If they believe in evolution theory, they don't have to be accountable to God Almighty. If they choose to believe creation fact, now all of a sudden they are accountable to God. They don't want that. So they rather believe in Star Trek, you know, doing this. Then there's they rather have a wacko concept, Star Wars, and what else is there? Come on, techie people. What else is it? Star Wars and... Yeah. There's always loony around. You know, that kind of... People rather believe that. If you are born again Christian, you don't know how to hear and recognize the voice of God, let me give you a secret. Okay? Listen to me. I'm not going to share this to anybody. Just about no extra charge. Read the Bible. Meditate upon it. Did you expect something else? Nothing to it. And memorize the Bible verses that we give you. As I said, someday they will come to your rescue. Instead of memorizing some silly country song lyrics, memorize the Bible verses. Do you think we don't memorize the song lyrics? We do. You guys still remember Adam's Family song lyrics, right? Do you not? If I have to make you to sing, then probably you can all sing the Adam's Family song. And now that's all you can think about. And listen, do not rely on TV evangelist who claimed that he had a lengthy conversation with Jesus previously. And he has a new revelation for you, just for you. There is a Hebrew word for that, in pig's eyes. A word of caution, when you think you heard from God, be careful. He never, never contradict his word in context. If whatever you thought he spoke or you heard goes against this Bible, you know what you should do? You quickly ignore what you heard. This remain as is. You ignore what you thought you heard. Because it might have come from the bad enchilada that you had the night before. Jesus didn't need this audible voice confirmation from the Father. Rather, it was for the benefit of the people around him, especially his disciples. Verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Then he said, and it's signifying by what death he would die. Verse 33 is the editorial comment by the Apostle John. 34, people answered him, we have heard from the law that Christ remained forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? From the understandable anxiety of Jesus, now we can hear anticipation of Jesus' triumph through his voice because he knows what the crucifixion will do. Our memory verse, chapter 12 of Hebrews, please. Hebrews, please. Chapter 12, Hebrews. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and was set down at the right hand of the throne of God. People around him thought that he was coming to offer them a material kingdom with a great wealth, but he offered them a spiritual kingdom that is impoverished in wealth. So they didn't want him, and that was the key. I guess you can say it's a turning point for them to change the tune from Hosanna to crucify him. Jesus could not give them a kingdom until they become a citizen of the kingdom. They could not enter the kingdom until they had become righteous. And they could not become righteous until somebody who was without sin paid for their sin. He could not pay for their sins until he died. So Jesus had to die to pay for their sin to make them righteous so they could have the right to enter into the kingdom. Make sense? The doom of the world was sealed by their own rejection of Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, it looked like that the world and Satan won this battle for good over God. But in 3 days, they realized that that was not the case. The other one who lost when Jesus resurrected from the dead. Go to Colossians chapter 2, please. Verse 14. Here's a quick description what Jesus did. Having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed the principalities and the powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That's what Jesus did. Don't ever, ever believe any Bible teacher who said victory was not won on the cross. Yes, it happened right there then time. The ruler of the world was none other than Satan, of course. This same title was used in chapter 14, verse 30 and 16, 11 in John. And parallel expression was used by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 and 6 and 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The cross and the resurrection of Jesus spelled Satan's defeat. Cross and the resurrection together felt Satan's defeat. Listen, Satan was motivated by the self-will, Jesus by the will of Father. Satan's power brought the destruction and the death. Jesus' power imparted renewal and life. Though Satan is still active, his action is only desperation of his futility, and his time is limited. I like what I heard about Satan. When Satan reminds you your ugly past before you came to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, remind him his future in hell. See, the verb we see here, the lifted up in Greek, is hupsao, and it has a deliberate double meaning. Yes, it has a literal and physical elevation on the cross. At the same time, it's the exaltation in the ranks and honor. It has a deliberate double meaning. We have seen this phrase in chapter 3 and 8 in John already. Jesus used this phrase. And also we've seen in Isaiah 52. Go there, please. Isaiah 52, verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He will be exalted. That, see that? Exalted and extolled and be very high. Now the old people, we read in John chapter 12, verse 34. All people. He will draw all people to himself. Does it mean everybody will be saved like a universalism believers would believe? Just in case you don't know what the universalism is they call themselves Christian. And they say that, well, God is the God of love, so everybody will come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. That's far from the truth, folks. Not everybody. He invites everybody. He indiscriminately draws everyone. He doesn't care nationality. He doesn't care race. He doesn't care for the status. But they are the ones who have to accept. His invitation is open to everybody. But they are the ones who have to accept. Remember John 3:16, God so loved few people, right? No, God so loved the world, everybody. Invitation is given to everybody, but the few choose to follow. These Jewish people had been taught only the passage that from the Old Testament that speaks of the triumph of the Messiah. They were virtually unaware of the verses that speak of his suffering, like Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. They were not taught. This crowd who greeted Jesus as their political conqueror with enthusiasm did not want to consider his sacrificial death. It didn't fit in with their idea of Messiah, so they rejected him and they crucified him. I have two applications for us. Number one, we believers and unbelievers alike should not think that God's truth will go away or the lower its standard if we ignore it long enough. His truth is eternal and immovable. It's not like a United States federal government standard. If the majority of people cannot keep up with a few good ones, guess what they do? They lower the standard so that the rest of them can fit in. Do you know why we have so many school children that they're graduating high school and they don't know how to compose the sentence in writing? Because they lower the standard so much that anybody can graduate. That's their idea of not leaving any child behind. How about giving them more assignment? How about giving them more challenge? Instead of thinking about stupid self-esteem, giving them the true core value of Jesus Christ from the Bible. Teach them what they need to hear from the Word of God. Yes, I'm advocate of the homeschool because public school become rather lenient. They are ignoring the truth of God. Second application, there are many doctrines in Christianity that are not worth arguing, including the eternal security of salvation. Some of you are thinking, okay, it's time to pick up the rock and throw it at him. It is not important. The eternal security of salvation is not that important. If you want to argue with, go for it. Stand in front of a wall, do it all by yourself. I will not respond. But the doctrine of salvation through Jesus Christ should not be compromised under any circumstance. Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. No other way. Let's stand up and pray. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head. I know many of you, but not all of you. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, please don't walk out the door today until you come to know Him, until you have Him in your heart. It is important for you to know that you need Savior. You cannot wait for tomorrow. Through Him, your sins will be forgiven. Through Him, you will have a hope. Through Him, you can have a love that never diminishes. All you have to do is just simply say, Jesus, come into my heart, and commit your life to Him. So if you'd like to receive Jesus into your heart, ask God right now in your heart. Pray that He comes into your heart. As an expression of that commitment, you can raise your hand to let me know so I can pray with you and we can rejoice with you. Do it now. Raise your hand. God bless you. And God bless you. Anyone else? Don't let anyone stop you. Don't let your pride stop you. Okay, including those two people. Rest of you, please repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. My sin have separated me from you. I believe that Jesus died for my sin. Rose from the dead. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's my God. He's my Savior. Please come into my heart. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the family of God.